You know, I've had Are You Ready for Some Football stuck in my head for like 4 days. The problem is I only know like the two lines. I almost thought about singing it to you so you could share my pain. But I am ready for some football. You know, I was, you know, when I drive to church in the morning and I see everybody walking their dogs, there is a secret internet that dog owners have access to, and they all know to walk down Tilden Avenue. And so as I'm pulling out of my driveway, I see them all walking their dogs on a beautiful, glorious morning. And they're getting happiness and joy in walking their dog. And they're not, unless they're my brother, they're not walking their dogs to the church. But I love Westy. And it makes me wonder, like, what is it that we are doing here? You know what I'm saying? How can the Son of God, born, lived, died, resurrected, 2,000 years later, his church is largely ignored? And I know that because I was somebody who ignored it for a long time. Because I was focused on the wrong things. I was focused with right and wrong, or good and evil, or I don't even know. But as I have started to grow in the Lord, He reveals things to me in my daily life. They're not very grandiose. They're just, I'll be driving and there'll be somebody coming, and just like, you know, pull over and give them the right of way, where before I would hurry to get, because I got to go where I got to go. And he helps me. And it's those of us who think correctly and play video games know that in a video game you start out and you got nothing. No armor, no weapons, zero skills. But by the end, after you've leveled up your character, then you're this mighty warrior who fells the, you know, dragon lord or whatever. And that's me. That's us. I'm on level 3, I think. So I got like a sword made out of wood. But I'm growing. We are growing. And as we continue to grow, our growth will be made manifest in our lives, and those around who have the same desire for growth will recognize it, and they'll think to themselves, I want what you got. And then they will grow. Heaven and earth will pass away. My words will remain. And it's right here, what we're doing. So thank you for coming. Thank you for making this possible. But remember, the Super Bowl is going to be fun, just like Judd said, but the thing that starts it all is connecting with His Holy Spirit and strengthening that bond through prayer. So my mom's going to play a little music, and we're gonna take some time, hey Aaron, and try and connect to the Holy Spirit. Mom, that was so good. Dang. So good. Just love it. Holly didn't take West out because I said something, did she? Okay. Oh, good, 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 good. Yeah, of course. I recall, Bill, when you came up and you shared your word, and that really stuck with me. I've been talking with Judd and other people about trying to find ways to have people kind of take ownership of what we're doing here. So if you ever have like a word that you want to share about your personal life, insight into a biblical scripture that you were seeing, or you want to play music or do children's church. I felt for a long time like I was a bystander, I was a passenger at the church, and that I was just like kicking my heels up. And there wasn't as much growth as when I started to kind of invest my own time and energy in it. Something to think about. If you ever feel like you want to say something or you got something on your heart, you want to get coffee, you want to talk, please, please, please reach out to me. I even have business cards. And they're lovely, Joanne. This week is, as my daughter calls it, Valentine's Day. And Valentine's Day, the cynic in me, is a holiday created by Hallmark to sell. And I'm just joking. It's about love. And so I wanted to talk a little bit about love. But you know, in the past, as I've said before, there weren't like police officers and, you know, crime scene detectives. So there was a lot of the honor system in the past. They would often just like, you know, cut your hands off for stealing, try and scare you. But a lot of religion is about how do we make society work. When I was in college, we had to learn about the Enlightenment, and Jean-Jacques Rousseau talks about the social contract. The individual makes a contract with society. I agree to abide by these rules, and in return, I get to get all of the benefits of being in society. Then if you violate that contract, then we have to take you out of society, right? So how do we keep society going? Well, you gotta have rules. Like I always tell my kids and my students, rules are so cool. But the rules get complicated, right? Well, what about this? You know, what if somebody gets a divorce? Can the person marry them again? What about alcohol? What about the gods? What about work? What about pay? And so the Old Testament is filled with rules. And when Jesus starts his ministry, the Pharisees try and catch him because they are people who study the word. And back then, most people, you know, aren't reading every day the Torah. So they think they're going to get him to discredit him. You know, which is the greatest of all of the commandments? And he says, love your God with all your heart and love your neighbor as yourself. If you do those two things, then everything else will sort itself out. Very simple, but very difficult. Jesus is the perfect example of what love is. Today, in our modern society, we conflate love with desire or infatuation. Love is the ability to see things and people clearly. They say love is blind, but I would argue nothing sees more clearly than love. Infatuation is blind. So if you've ever, when people first start dating, do everything together. Let's just sit and talk. You've been married for 20 years and been like, move over, you're snoring too loud. Right? Sure, infatuation is blind, can't see a thing, but love can see clearly. Jesus in Luke 23:34, when he is being crucified, this is the man who said, love your neighbor with all your heart, and he walks it out. They've beat him, they've blasphemed him, they've whipped him, they've stripped him. And now they're nailing him on the cross and publicly shaming him. And if he wanted to, if he was a video game player like me, he would smite them with his mighty level 36 plus sword. But he says, When they came to a place called the Skull, there they crucified him, and the criminals, one on the right and the other on the left. But Jesus was saying, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing." And they cast lots, dividing up his garments. That is love. It's more than a dozen red roses. It's more even than what I feel for my children. Jesus lives perfectly because he sees clearly the right thing to do in every situation. Did that make sense? He understands they're blind. It's like you wouldn't yell at a baby for crying. It doesn't know what it's doing. Listen, Valerie, we've all kind of had a hard day, right? And we got to prepare for the thing tomorrow. And Valerie's, "Oh, I'm so sorry. That was very inconsiderate of me." Of course, I was flying to New York one time with my infant son, Aiden, and he was crying the plane down, and I wanted to just open the door and jump out. I was so embarrassed and stressed out, and I could feel like everybody was upset, and they were. And we were patting him, and we'd given him the medicine. I had talked to my brother-in-law, who was a pediatrician, and I'd spoken with him. And one of the ladies behind me taps me on the shoulder real hard and says, "Have you tried giving him a bottle?" A bottle? Why didn't I think of that? Here I've been shaking him upside down by his ankles, but a bottle to a baby. What a wonderful idea. Yeah, I'll try that. Don't worry about it. Of course I tried the bottle, lady. None of us on the plane were loving and seeing clearly in that situation. However, if we are able to, the love and the forgiveness often seems like a difficult thing that we have to do, right? I'll be the magnanimous one, and I will be the bigger person in love and forgive you for your wrongness. But I would argue that the forgiveness and loving aren't for them, it's for you. You are freed up. If you can love people and see them clearly, then you enter into the kingdom of heaven. Well, what about if I have like a burger with cheese on it, or if I'm wearing clothes made out? Just love your neighbor and love God. If you can do that on a consistent basis, the Lord will reveal to you the minutia. That doesn't mean the minutia isn't important, but we put the cart before the horse. First, love your neighbor. And in that spirit, you can talk politics if you feel the need. I do not. The happiness that we can attain comes through loving the people around us. Any situation with a difficult person can be made into a positive situation with the love of the Holy Spirit flowing in you. We allow our happiness to be stolen because we put conditions on whom we will love. Jesus says in Matthew 7, chapter 1, this is one of the most famous Bible verses. Even my heretical children know this one. "Do not judge so that you will not be judged. For in the way you judge, you will be judged. And by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, 'Let me take that speck out of your eye,' and behold, the log is in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. Do not give what is holy to dogs, and do not throw your pearls before swine, or they will trample them under their feet and turn and tear you to pieces." When I was growing up, I had always read that verse in like with a certain tone. Why are you worried about other people's specks? You got a huge log in your own eye. If you judge people, you are shutting yourself off from loving them. In judging them, you have put yourself in a position where you are judged and found lacking. Did that make sense? Last night I was working at Trader Joe's and there was an older lady coming in. And I've worked at Trader Joe's and restaurants, and no offense to any person present, but old ladies sometimes mean trouble's ahead. And I could tell that trouble was brewing. And I was like, this screams paper checks. Just kidding. Here we are, right? I'm getting paid to be here, so here we are. But I, in the past, I would judge. Here comes this older woman, and she already looks like she's been sucking on a lemon since 3 o'clock in the morning. But the Lord revealed to me, because I've been working on my own log. My own log. I've been working on it. There's still plenty of lumber in both of my eyes. But I've been working on it. And so that thought came up. She's going to be difficult. But the Lord revealed to me, you got to let that go, Gabe. Of course she's going to be difficult if you think she's going to be difficult. And when she came in, I was like, hey, how's your day? I need 2 double bags for every single thing, and I want 10 double bags. This is literally what she said. Judge not lest you be judged, Gabe. And the enemy or the opposing force that wants me to be unhappy wanted me to start grinding my teeth and thinking about how difficult and unreasonable this woman is. But the Lord is with me constantly. The kingdom of heaven was right at hand. I turned away for a second and stopped looking at that and started looking about how unreasonable she's being. But as soon as I stopped, I don't know what's going on in this poor woman's life. And it's irrelevant anyways. You're not tasked with loving good people and not bad people. You're tasked with loving everyone. And I said, so how many bags was that going to be? And as soon as I shifted my perspective and started looking at this person as a child of God, deserving of my love and respect, rather than an inconvenience that is getting in my way, she was still the same person, but I had changed. I had stepped out. I was transcended. I had entered the kingdom of heaven. And I almost wept. That may not seem like a big deal to you, but somebody who's been in the service industry as long as I have, to live with peace and love in your heart in a difficult situation. And the more that I was able to love her, the happier that I was, because my love no longer had conditions. If she acts this way, then I'll act this way. I took all that away and was able to connect with her. And instead of it being a difficult thing where I got to get a manager and she says, and then I talk to my coworkers about how this difficult customer came in, just cut all of that out. And this is what's happening in my life. This is what's happening in our lives the more that we do it. He makes the rough places plain because he reveals to me. And so I can be happy wherever I am. In traffic, awesome, because I'm with the Holy Spirit. It doesn't matter where I am. At home with my children, awesome. Playing video games by myself in the morning, super awesome. But everything, the valleys are raised up, the mountains are brought low, life is not a chore anymore. It's like I've been pushing my car this whole time. And all of a sudden, the Lord was like, oh, here's your problem. It's a spark plug. Starts right up. And life becomes easy. Because his burden is light. His yoke is easy. As soon as I listen to him. Talk about love all day. They got dating apps for Jewish people, for Christians. They got dating apps for how to cheat on your wife. God bless it. And everybody's concerned. Will someone ever love me? That's not love, brother. That's desire. You can be happy with people, but you can also be happy alone. Because you think love is like Jasmine and Aladdin flying off. Love is being able to look at a difficult person and say, I love you, dude. Because if you're that kind of person, then your wife or your spouse, all of it opens up. And if you're not in that, even the most loving person will cause you to be bothered. My children are the two greatest parts of my life. But when I'm not in the Holy Spirit, I will grind my teeth There will be a great weeping and gnashing of teeth in the Fraser household. Not for what they've done, for what's up here. Unconditional love frees you. If you love your enemies, then you have no enemies. If you can love your neighbor as yourself, then you can be truly happy. You can be peaceful, and even in a situation that you couldn't be before. But also, to love God is to be able to love your current situation in all circumstances. I watched a movie way back in the day. I don't know if you've ever heard of it. It's called Office Space. And the guy comes in, he's not enthused about his job. And like the lady comes over and she's like, looks like somebody's got a case of the Mondays. Of course, that bothers him even more. But if you asked 1,000 people, which day of the week is your favorite and which day of the week is your least favorite, I highly doubt that many people will say Monday is my favorite day. But I would ask why. See, you've put conditions on what your happiness is. So yesterday I was at home with my daughter and my son and my niece and their friend Mallory. And I was having a wonderful day. And then I started to think about the fact that I would have to leave my house and my wonderful people and family and go to work. And a cold sweat. Because in my mind, I love being at home with my children, and I don't love being at work. Ah, ha, ha. Here's the rub. But I could feel it, because like I've said, I've been working on myself and removing that log from my eye. And so before work, I did a short prayer time. And I closed my eyes. I asked the Lord for ears to hear and a heart that understands, and I quieted my mind. And in that moment, the Lord revealed to me the true nature of Trader Joe's, which seems so silly when I say it out loud, but the true nature is that it's a wonderful place filled with wonderful people. I had only created this image. Unconditional love. I had put conditions on my love and happiness. I'm happy as long as I'm at home with my kids. I got to go to work, not happy. But the Lord revealed to me, you can be just as happy at work as you can at home. If you just thought, yeah, right, you got some work to do. That's okay. If you think you can be happier in some places than others, then you still have work to do. And that's okay. I still have work to do. But I went to Trader Joe's yesterday filled with peace that came from the love of my job. Stocking cans. And bagging groceries. What more noble deed could be done than showing people that cream cheese is in the cheese section? They're looking all next to the beans. Do you have cream cheese? Yep. Where is it? It's right over here in the cheese section. Can't help it. I've got lumber to take out. But the Lord calls me forward. Before, I had been unhappy, but he made that rough space plain. Trader Joe's is a wonderful place. The people that I work with are kind and loving. It pays me a good, honest wage that I use to support my children. Who lied to me? Who lied to me? Who told me this? Who incepted me with this idea that work sucks? That work is something that you have to do? The man wants you working. It's wrong. It's all wrong. It's all wrong. I'm happy. I don't get sad in the end of Sundays because his mercies are new every day. Monday morning, whistling my way to school. Not always, but I'm better. He calls me out. Matthew 5:43. You shall have heard it said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy, but I say love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may become sons and fathers of he who is in heaven. For he causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends the rain on the righteous and unrighteous. People think, maybe correctly, that that means that God blesses and punishes good and righteous. But let me ask you this. If it's only ever sunny, what happens to all of the things that are living? They die. You need rain. You may not like rain, especially if everything in your house and church leaks. But if you don't have rain, then all the plants die. God loves everyone in this world, not because of who they are, but because of who he is. You have got it in your head that Sunday means happy day and rainy day means sad day. But I would argue that sunny day and happy day are both the best. When it's sunny, I say, thank you, Lord. What a wonderful day for children and people to walk their dogs down my street on. When it rains, I say, thank you, Lord, for the rain because we need it. I'm the one who's freed, you understand? You are the ones who freed. This isn't work. You aren't clocking into a job you hate. You're liberated, shackles falling from you. If the Lord was only with you and happiness was only possible on the good days, that's a bad deal because you only get two of them. I was talking with one of my coworkers last night. And I was loving life. And I said, hey, man, how's it going, Darren? Just got to get through these last hours. And I didn't judge him because I've been there a million times. But I thought to myself, poor Darren. He's still trapped. He doesn't see. Only 3 hours. Imagine if your life was only the work outside, your life was only outside of work. That's a very short amount of time. You got swindled. They robbed you of 5 days. But you can be happy anywhere. My dad had a very poignant way of putting retirement. I'm not going to retire, Gaby. Why not, Dad? You worked hard. You put in the work. Because you just wait until the end. You run out of time. Eesh. I'm not going to retire as of now, because I love my job. I love it. I get to talk about history to disinterested teens. It's my favorite thing. I'm being a little sarcastic, but I do love it. I enjoy my job. I enjoy being a pastor. People say, oh, life must be tough with three jobs. No, it's not. It's glorious. It's better than it's ever been. It's better than it's ever been. I don't sing praises because he wants to be glorified. I sing praises because I was a miserable man for years, and finally, he saved me. And I wake up every morning and say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you. They take his name in vain. But I don't get mad. They don't know any better. They're blind. Jesus says, let the dead bury the dead. You follow me. I will, Lord. The people come in and they're difficult. Oh, what would you have me do, Lord? Let them be. You follow me, Gabriel. He's the good shepherd. When I'm getting angry, he calls me back. When I'm becoming arrogant, he calls me down. He moves me forward. And it's never been better. I want to shout it from the mountaintops. Soon as I get this car, then I'll be happy. Soon as I meet this person, then I'll be happy. No, friends, no. But it's okay. You're happy right now. You just forgot. Easy for you to say, it is. It's wonderfully easy. The easiest thing I've ever done. I just lived for years thinking it wasn't easy. And I'd wake up and go through my list. Unconditional love. Unconditional love. Unconditional love. Be vigilant. be on guard. The enemy wants to start putting lists, prerequisites, and checks that have to be met. I'm not making as much money as I'd like. That's why I'm stressed. Gabe, don't you see I'm stressed about finances? I get it. So am I. If you want an excuse to be unhappy, there's plenty. But you don't have to be. You don't have to be. 2,000 years ago, help was sent. And then somehow after that, we started getting worried about who's doing what. The Lord of glory said, stop worrying about the specks in other people's eyes and worry about your own log. And then for 2,000 years, we set up courts about how to find, identify, and notice specks. Let it go. Let it go. Let it go and be free. Let it go and be happy. Let it go and be love. It's good. It's so good. It never fails. It forgives all things. Thank God for me, because there's a lot of red. It hopes all things. Thank God, because we've got a small congregation for now. It believes all things. What you want, you can get if you will follow the Lord. It never fails. It will not fail you. It will not fail you. It doesn't come up short. The answer doesn't come back wrong. It's always right. It's true north. It's the good news. Behold, I only do what I see the Father doing. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And for a man who struggles with fear, it's like water to someone dying of thirst. Be blessed this week. Be blessed at the Super Bowl. Enjoy your chili dogs. It's going to be the best Sunday ever. But tomorrow, when you get up and you start to grimace, be blessed in that moment. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Remember that. It's like sometimes I feel like I can see it at the corner of my eyes. And then I start focusing on the thing that I was bothered about. And then the Lord remembers me, reminds me, and I remember, and then I think about it. And then I just dwell on it, and I pray to the Lord, help me. Send me your Spirit, Lord. Give me ears to hear, and it fills me up. What could be better? I'm going to close in a word of prayer so we can go watch. And Jed doesn't care who wins. I'm hoping the 49ers win because my grandfather was a 49ers fan. Also, one of my teachers is a 49ers fan, and I have to practice what I preach if the 49ers lose, because I'll hear about it. So if you'll bow your head and close your eyes. Lord, thank you. Thank you for this day. Thank you for this wonderful place. Thank you for these wonderful people. I love you, Lord. Help us. Give us ears to hear. Give us eyes to see clearly. Give us a heart that understands. Help us to be disciples who love you and love those around us. Give us patience, Lord. Give us courage. Remind us, recall to us, bring us back. Show us the kingdom of heaven. Help us to enter it again and again. Bind the enemy from us. Protect us. Bring us back next week, filled with praise reports of your good news. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.